The absence of board chair.
Turn it on. Spread should be on. No, you turned it off. Now it's on. Red is on.
The board is independent. The board is an independent, citizen-appointed board that works to ensure honesty, integrity, accountability, and trust in city government. The board administers and enforces the Code of Ethics by interpreting the city's ethical standards, administering the financial disclosure program, investigating ethics complaints, and determining if ethics violations have occurred. The board meets every Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. in City Council Committee Room 1. Ethics questions or complaints may be sent to ethicsofficer@atlantaga.gov or by calling the Ethics Office at 404-330-6286. The board is composed of 7 city residents appointed to serve 3-year term of office. All board members are community volunteers who receive no pay for their service. They are, seated to my far left, Todd Gray, appointed by the Atlanta Business League. Nicola Hines to my immediate right, appointed by the League of Women Voters. To my immediate left, Jessica Stern, appointed by the Atlanta Bar Association. Not present currently is Rye Greathouse, appointed by the Gate City Bar Association, and Kate Wash, appointed by the 6 major universities. We also currently have a vacancy for the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board. Again, my name is Brent Adams, and I'm appointed by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce. Assisting the board is Ethics Officer Jabu M. Singova, who is seated to my far right. A quorum is present tonight, so let's begin with our first order of business, which is the adoption of the agenda. If you'll turn to the minutes, which are behind tab 1, you should find the minutes from February 16, 2017. If you'll review those, and I'll take a motion for approval.
Move to approve the February 16th minutes.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Second, we have an enforcement action, which will be located behind tab 2, and Mr. Santiago is going to address the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, board members. Carlos Santiago, Associate Ethics Officer. Before you tonight is a probable cause report and recommendation of dismissal of the complaint in the matter of Kwanzaa Hall, a city elected official who has represented Atlanta City Council District 2 since 2005. A copy of the probable cause report is located behind tab 2 in your board package. As background, the Ethics Office received an anonymous Integrity Line complaint which alleged that Mr. Hall filed false city financial disclosure statements where he allegedly failed to disclose that his wife was employed by the city. The complaint further alleged that Mr. Hall should have recused himself on multiple occasions from voting on legislative items pertaining to the Atlanta Medical Center and alleged various campaign finance violations. Our office conducted a preliminary review of the complaint and sent a letter to Mr. Hall notifying him of the allegations filed against him. In that letter, our office dismissed the allegation in the complaint concerning Mr. Hall's alleged failure to disclose his wife's employment with the city, as city records show that she was not employed by the city during the time period referenced in the complaint. Further, our office dismissed the alleged campaign finance violations, which do not fall under the jurisdiction of the Board of Ethics. Finally, in our letter to Mr. Hall, we requested clarification regarding Mr. Hall's period of service on the Atlanta Medical Center Board of Directors. In his response and in subsequent interview with our office, Mr. Hall indicated that he served as a member of the Atlanta Medical Center Board of Directors from January 29, 2010 to May 31, 2015. A review of city records showed that during the period of Mr. Hall's service on the Atlanta Medical Center Board, there were 7 instances where legislative items involving the AMC, Atlanta Medical Center, were put forth for a vote by the City Council. The voting record attached to each legislative item revealed that Mr. Hall voted on 5 of the 7 items, recused himself on 1 item, and did not vote on the other item. We began our analysis by reviewing the applicable law and prior opinions. The applicable law in this case is Section 2813 of the Code of Ethics on disclosure of interest. Section 2813 states that every official who knows or with reasonable investigation should know that the official has a financial interest or personal interest, direct or indirect, in any proposed legislation or in any decision pending before that official, shall not vote for or against, discuss, decide, or in any way participate in considering the matter or seek to influence the votes or decisions of such of others on such matter. The Board of Ethics Informal Advisory Opinion 2002 states that under Section 2813, whether a person is disqualified from voting on a specific matter depends on the facts and usually must be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. The opinion goes on to state that disqualification is more likely to be required when the matter affects the official directly, involves a reasonably foreseeable financial interest, and will result in a clear and certain personal benefit or loss. The benefit accrues to a small identifiable group, and the vote is on a specific contract or grant. Further, disqualification is less likely to be required when the official is not directly affected, there is no reasonably foreseeable financial interest of the official, a family member, or a business associate, any potential benefit is uncertain and contingent on other acts, and the matter affects a large segment of the public or is part of the annual budget. Applying Section 2813 and Formal Advisory Opinion 2010-02, we conducted a case-by-case review of the seven legislative items involving the Atlanta Medical Center. On two of the legislative items, further analysis was not required because city records show that Mr. Hall appropriately recused himself from the vote on one of the items and did not participate on the vote on the second item. That said, there were five instances where Mr. Hall did vote on items concerning the Atlanta Medical Center. For three of the items in question, the vote involved the denial of claims to the benefit of the city where there was no material financial benefit to either Mr. Hall or to the Atlanta Medical Center, and therefore recusal was not required. However, while the vote on these three items did not require recusal, Mr. Hall's vote on these matters could have raised appearance issues because the outcome may have resulted in a foreseeable financial benefit to the AMC. Finally, the remaining two items involved actions renewing a lease agreement at a nominal cost of $1 to the city, with no material financial benefit to either Mr. Hall directly or to the Atlanta Medical Center, and therefore recusal was not required. Therefore, because of our case-by-case review applying Section 2813 and the prior opinion determined that recusal was not required on the five legislative items in question, we recommend that the board dismiss the complaint for lack of probable cause. And I'll be happy to take any questions you may have at this time.
Mr. Santiago, I'm wondering why in the allegations there's nothing more said about the alleged campaign finance violations besides it just saying alleged campaign finance violations. I mean, is there a reason why there's nothing more about that?
Yes, the Board of Ethics does not have jurisdiction over campaign finance matters, and we did refer those matters to the state. However, the state, their rules do not allow for the receipt of anonymous complaints, so they do not investigate anonymous complaints.
So this board's never reviewed an issue that involves campaign finance issues?
Unless there would be city funds involved or city resources, we don't have jurisdiction over campaign finance matters involving the forms that are submitted through the municipal clerk here to the state of Georgia.
I guess I'm just, if we don't see any of the allegations with the details, how do we know what it's about?
Well, we would not, anything related to campaign finance, we would not even review it. It's just not in our jurisdiction. The allegations were essentially concerning expenditures, alleged expenditures. But again, we have no jurisdiction over that, so we would not even review those matters.
But does that mean that there wasn't any allegation about it being city finances or city property or anything like that?
No, there was no use of city funds, no use of city property. It was all related to the campaign, to the campaign of Mr. Hall. Correct.
I'm glad to see in the analysis that there was mention of the fact that while there may not have been a personal or financial benefit, while I'm not sure, I agree with that without looking at the analysis a little bit more carefully, that there is a financial or a fiduciary duty, and that it's pointed out in the opinion that it has an appearance issue, right?
Yes.
And that is mentioned here because of the fact that there could have been a foreseeable financial benefit to AMC, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see that that's mentioned here. Is this something that is provided to Mr. Hall? And is there anything more that's done to discuss that with him as far as the advice that is provided in the opinion as to how to mm-hmm. potentially handle it differently?
We did have a discussion with Mr. Hall, and we reviewed what some of the better practices might have been in a case like this. In this case, the claims that were brought up were adverse to the AMC, and they were on the consent agenda items. Which means that they had already been the claims were going to be denied unanimously. So there was no, in that case, where the appearance issue could have come is that had that gone the other way, certainly would have needed to alert the rest of the council that I need to remove this item from the consent agenda, and then state the reason for doing so, and then file with our office. Had there been some sort of, if there had been a foreseeable financial benefit based on what was in the consent agenda. But here, the consent agendas were items adverse to the AMC, to the benefit of the city. So we did review that and discuss some better practices, which would include reviewing before the legislation comes to the floor to make sure and screen out any sort of legislation that may have ties to a board that any, and this would apply to any council member where they have a financial interest or personal interest in that board.
Thank you. Next on the agenda are the financial disclosures.
I think we have to take a vote on the...
I'm sorry.
Right.
Excuse me. So I will take a motion to accept the recommendation that we dismiss the complaint against Councilman Kwanza Hall.
Motion to accept the dismissal of the complaint against Councilman Kwanza Hall.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next piece of business is behind tab 3. It's the financial disclosures. I think Mr. Santiago will do the 2017 roll of delinquent filers.
That's correct. At this time, I'll present the 2017 roll of delinquent filers. And again, that roll is located behind tab 3 in your board packets. This roll is sorted by last name. It includes both non-filers and late filers, as well as current and former employees and board members. The late filers on the roll filed their statements after the grace period ended on April 17, 2017, and did not provide the ethics office with reasonable cause for doing so. The non-filers on the list have failed to file their statements or provided any reasonable cause to our office for doing so. In addition, we have reviewed this list thoroughly and have determined that all individuals listed on the roll received adequate notice to file. That said, at this time, we respectfully ask the board to adopt the 2017 roll of delinquent filers.
So moved.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes, I am going to do that on behalf of Sherry Dawson. I'll present her report. And we did speak a little about the report at our Transparent Diamond Awards, which we shortly had. This year we had a total again of 2,746 required filers. Out of that number, we had 2,379 city employees and 367 members of boards, commissions, and agencies. We did have an excellent rate this year, a rate of 96%. And given that we had an increase of our numbers, so last year we had a total number of 2,549 filers. This year we had almost 220 filers more. So I think our numbers were really good considering our increase in filers. As far as I say with challenges, we didn't face too many challenges, which is really good. The system worked like it was supposed to. We continued to use the same methodology that we used before, with sending email reminders, doing personal phone calls, and we did utilize Channel 26 to broadcast our filing season. So I think, again, staying in constant contact with our department liaisons, which we are always thankful for, because without them, we cannot get the filing numbers we do. So we do appreciate their efforts as well. And we just hope to continue to have excellent filing rates in the future. I'll take any questions you may have at this time.
Thanks, Ms. Ngova. I think next is the adoption of the resolution for Transparent Diamond Awards.
And that, I believe, is behind tab 3 as well.
Correct.
We've already, this is coming out right after the award ceremony. We've already done the award ceremony, so this is more of a formality. So we just recommend that you adopt the resolution.
I move that we adopt the 2017 Transparent Diamond Awards resolution.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I thought the award ceremony went great, very smooth. Thank you all for all the hard work. And thanks to Ms. Dawson as well, who's not in the room. Next, we have a formal advisory opinion that Ms. Ngova will present, which is behind tab 4.
Okay, so, and I think this opinion is timely, considering the board just considered a complaint in that regards. And this opinion, we did earlier on this year, if you recall, we did draft the opinion for your review. So in terms of the purpose clause, which is located in Section 2802, which really essentially defines appearance of improper propriety. So I'm just going to highlight, for benefit of the public and our officials and employees, I will highlight some important points from this opinion. So we believe that in terms of the appearance standard, that many situations can be the foundation for what we think are extremely serious ethics problems. So we think it's important to provide self-monitoring and self-control skills for our city officials. We believe that individuals have to go beyond just following laws, because following the rules alone does not make our actions ethical. And indeed, as many of us may think that some of these things are common sense and intuitive, that's not always the case. And I have learned that in the years of being an ethics professional, clarity and guidance is needed in this particular area. So in summary, the opinion, which is found again on tab 4, the three things that it looks at is how is the appearance standard looked at. The opinion also provides examples of specific situations that may create an appearance of a conflict or impropriety. Finally, this opinion suggests tools and techniques that may be effectively used. As far as how the appearance standard is viewed, it can be a difficult thing to really ascertain because, again, it means different things to different people. For example, my value judgment may be different from another person's value in terms of whether believing his conduct or action may raise an appearance issue. There are situations where an appearance of impropriety may be raised. So the opinion also gives some specific examples to give guidance to our officials and employees. So some of the examples could be, for example, friendship and business relationships, because even though our code does not regulate friendships and business, we do regulate relationships between our officials, employees, and restricted sources, that is entities or individuals doing business with the city. And the opinion wants to make sure that employees are thinking about this in terms of their relationships on a daily basis. Another area may come up is decision-making in personal-related matters. And another time would be in our post-employment activities. So when folks leave the city, there may be an issue of an appearance where we wouldn't want the public thinking that an employee or official may be using their prior relationships to achieve some kind of favoritism. Now, in terms of other situations, these are just a few I've mentioned. The underlying message is that the appearance standard is one that officials and employees often fail to look at when making ethical decisions. So our hope is that officials and employees may learn to go beyond the spirit of the law and examine whether the decision they're making is best for the city or for their benefit. Finally, there are some suggested tools that have been laid out in the opinion to assist officials and employees to recognize when there may be an appearance issue. One of the most common ones that, which we all are pretty familiar with, is our media test, so we call it the public test. Now, unfortunately, the reality is that the public does look at our government officials and employees and makes, in terms of making testing, in terms of testing their conduct when making decisions. And as we all know, the internet has given the public increased access to governmental affairs. So we do find that officials and employees are being scrutinized more. And to build the trust of the public and protect the integrity of our city government, the official and employee must always consider the public perception when making ethical choices. The opinion also lays out a few other tests, but suggested tools, but really the media, and I guess I say the public perception, and this is one that we speak of on a routine basis, is one of the easiest ones to determine when you're making ethical decisions. And so, again, we hope that this opinion can be used, and we do, once it's adopted, we do plan on disseminating it citywide so that folks can use this and realize that it may not be a violation of the ethics code, but here are some suggestions and here are some situations where there may be an appearance issue. We are recommending that you adopt the opinion at this time, and I will take any questions you may have.
Think of, is this the first advisory opinion of its kind that takes a step beyond the typical analysis of the code itself?
Yes, I mean, in terms of the appearance, it is. It is one that I have discussed with the prior ethics officers, and I think it is timely considering that this is an issue that comes up quite routinely.
I'm really happy to see it. You mentioned that you think it's one of the easier violations to notice if it kind of doesn't smell right? But
right.
It's hard to really find something tangible without the examples that you've laid out. People can't really
right.
see examples or illustrations of it, and so I think this is really well done so that people can see something to compare it to and realize that they may be in that situation.
Right. Problem.
I would move to adopt it.
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Ms. Singova. Will this go to City Council at all? Or?
Absolutely. Okay. We do plan on disseminating to City Council as well as members of the administration as well as to citywide. And, of course, we do plan on posting it on our website.
Great work. All right, behind tab 5, our next piece of business is the Ethics Officer's Report.
Hey, we've been really busy. All right, so we do have, actually, there are two reports. I'm not going to read everything, but I am going to highlight, basically, from the two reports and highlight some of the activities of note on the reports. And again, I just want to, do a special thanks to my staff. They've really worked hard since our last meeting. And I do want to recognize them that the work that we've done has been really attributed to the staff. All right, so in terms of our report, the office space in terms of our move, that was one of our really biggest things that we achieved in the past 3 months. We were previously located on the 12th floor, but we are now on the first floor in suite 1100. And the space that we're now occupying really suits our needs, and we have adequate space and functionality for all the staff. The next thing I just bring to your attention is in terms of legislative action. We were able to successfully advocate changes to the post-employment law. Now, just in terms of refresher, that amendment that we sought was to provide that for employment, subsequent employment. So if an official employee left the city, they could seek subsequent employment with public entities, and there would be a presumption that that employment would not be prohibited by the code, subject to a case-by-case review by the Ethics Board. And so we were able to get that approved and adopted into law, as well as some changes to our financial disclosure laws to provide clarity as to when city positions should be required to file. One of our big projects that we've been working on a year, of course, is the replacement of our e-file system. And basically, it's been the development of a new electronic filing system to replace our old 10-year system. We have been steadily engaged in this process for almost a year, and it has been a lengthy process, but we have now identified a vendor that meets the requirements to build this new system, and the contract is being currently executed. And if all goes well, we should have our new system by January of 2018, hopefully in time for the new filing season. And that's as far as just highlights from the reports. And, you know, again, you're welcome to review it. And if you have any questions about the reports, I'll respond to them at this time. That is correct. And I'll just go right into that. Now, basically, as far as the budget report, that is behind Type 5. We are spending as budgeted as we approach the end of this fiscal year and just finally anticipating any final operational expenses that need to be made before June 30th, which is the cutoff date. And I'll just go right into the fiscal year 18 budget update. And the budget letter to the mayor and city council is also in the folder for your review. As far as the budget year for FY18, so we just finished our budget process. The staff all attended the budget briefing last Thursday, May 11th, and it went very well. Our major request, of course, was concerning the e-file system for our additional funding to cover into FY18. In terms of the hearing, members of council asked substantive questions regarding our budget, our integrity line, and our investigative process, as well as they discussed our funding requests for the new e-file system. So we will continue to keep you apprised in regards to final adoption of the budget. And I'll take any questions you may have at this point about the budget or the FY18 budget process.
Questions? Thank you, Ms. Ngova. You got anything else?
No.
Next is public comments, and there is no one from the public here tonight. Before we close with announcements, I will just say that this is the end of a two-term for me as a board member. I want to thank the board members that are here tonight and also thank the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce for appointing me 6 years ago. It's been a pleasure. It's been great to work with the new Ethics Board officer, Ms. Ngova. And with Ms. King, Mr. Santiago, and Ms. Dawson.
Absolutely.
Brent, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. It's been great.
Graciously served with us, and it's been great to see how you've done things and kind of show us the ropes. And so
thank you.
Very much.
Great. Thank you. Next up, our announcements. So we have a summer board retreat, which is Saturday, June. Y'all have a summer board retreat, which is Saturday, June 3rd, 2017, from 9 to 11. That location is yet to be determined.
Yes, we are working on that. And I'll just say it will be pretty informal, but it's going to be really critical that we have that retreat given some, you know, potential legal issues that are going on. And that will be one of the active discussions that we have at that meeting.
And then our next Board of Ethics meeting will be Thursday, July 20th, 2017, 6 p.m. here in Committee Room 1. If there's no other business, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Before you do, Brent, we just wanted to thank you as well for your service and thank you for the support of the office. You know, I've been here over 8 years, and it's been a pleasure working with you. I think the staff would definitely miss you.
Absolutely.
We hope that you stay in touch every now and then. So thank you for your service.
All right. We stand adjourned. Great. Thank you.
Second.
Thanks.
About you and your work, and I wish you well in terms of what are you going to do now? You go home and sit down, or you're going somewhere else? She just said she's just ready to go. 31 years, right? How many years?
Of auditing?
Here with the city. 15 and a half here with the city. Okay. Well, congratulations, and I wish you well. Thank you.
You know, you did your job with the love of the city, as I think in front of you every day. I mean, that's the way I felt when you would come to us and tell us, you'd kind of slap us on the hand and say, hey, listen, you know, you need to do these other things so that your department is running better, so that you're more efficient in your day-to-day operations, and that was appreciated. We didn't always follow it, but it was very appreciated because it meant that somebody cared enough to lead us in the right direction. So there were a lot of things that we did follow. We didn't follow everything, but there are a lot of things that we did follow, okay? And so it gave us a guidepost. And so that was very good for us. And I think the person that kind of pushed us in that direction really